Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We'll be introducing our phone guest in just a moment. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 63, beginning at verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Verses 1 through 11, Psalm 63. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for how that as we spend time in your word, we draw closer to you. We hear directly from heaven as we hear your voice, as we hear your words of wisdom, grace, and direction. Thank you again for the wonderful opportunity to connect to you in meditation and prayer through your word, Lord. Help us to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to reading and meditating on it. And help us to be faithful as parents and grandparents to teach and train our children to lock into your word each and every day and thus receive the grace that comes from that. We thank you and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We want to encourage you to get connected with us on Facebook. We invite you to connect with our Facebook page, Hour of Intercession. And also you can follow Urban Family on Twitter. And you can join the Urban Family Talk email list for the latest poll question that's been posted. Also, you can find news articles on our website, action alerts, and blogs from Urban Family. You can visit us at urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. Our guest today on the broadcast by way of phone is Dr. David Butts. He's a minister, an author. He directs Harvest Prayer Ministries as well, and quite a few other things as well. Dave, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Good to be with you.
Good to have you on today, and thank you for taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule. Appreciate it. You were with us recently here at the ministry, and you did devotion and did a powerful job, as well as recorded a couple very powerful DVD presentations teaching on prayer as well. So I was really blessed by being able to receive from those. So, but as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll take time to introduce yourself a little bit more to our listeners beyond the fact that you're Dr. David Butts, okay?
Sure. Well, my wife Kim and I began a ministry a little over 23 years ago called Harvest Prayer Ministries. I had been in pastorate for 20 years before that, and God just called us out of that which we loved into this itinerant ministry, and we travel all over the nation and a number of other nations as well, teaching on prayer, particularly helping a local church understand what it means to be a house of prayer for all nations. And so, in addition to Kim and I, we've got others on staff who travel and teach. We have a wonderful magazine that comes out four times a year called Prayer Connect, all about prayer. And our website, harvestprayer.com, has lots of free articles. We have a daily devotional on prayer that's free. It's called The Connection. But all of that's on the harvestprayer.com website. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the other thing that we do is we write. Kim and I and John Graff on our staff and Alvin Vandegren, who's with us, all of us have been writing for years. We really believe that good books in people's hands can be a great encouragement to their prayer life. I know for me, down through the years, there have been wonderful books that have encouraged me and challenged me in prayer. And so we just keep writing. And we've got a very large online bookstore, just books on prayer. And many of them we've written, as well as some that others have written as well. So that's pretty much what we do. I guess the one other thing, Joseph, that I ought to mention is that for the last 20 years or so, I have worked as a member of the National Prayer Committee. And the last 13 years, I've served as chairman for the National Prayer Committee, which also means I serve as chairman of the board for the National Day of Prayer. And that has been a great privilege of mine and a delight to see how God has grown the National Day of Prayer and what a powerful impact it has. Interesting enough, not only in our nation, even though it's America's National Prayer Day of Prayer, it has also impacted many other nations. And so that's a real encouragement, and I just love getting to work with an amazing staff of people who help lead our National Day of Prayer.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing about that, Dave. And, you know, something interesting I think of is that it's very encouraging for me, to, and I imagine it would be for many believers, to see how that God is raising up a lot of prayer ministries that do, they again, a little bit different in many ways, but have very many similarities too. But I think of a number of ministries God has started that are 24-hour prayer chains, just like, for example, we on a number of occasions, on a kind of regular basis, we have representatives from a ministry called Wailing Women, which is an international group of women that pray 24 hours a day. They have one-hour segments all around the clock, and they comprise about 70 nations. And I know of another ministry that has persons from other nations, and even they've had people from United Arab Emirates, as you know, just all of. So it's just good to see God raising up prayer ministries all over the place, doing the same kind of thing God has raised up your ministry to do as well.
It is very exciting. Of course, working with National Prayer Committee, which is a coalition of about 80 different prayer ministries, you get to really get to know these people, and you see how God is using a widely diverse group to meet the needs of a widely diverse body of Christ and to call us all to prayer. Prayer is not simply a specialized ministry for a few. It's for all of us.
That's right.
And so it's exciting to see God raising up all of these ministries just to help sound the alarm, blow the trumpet, get us all on our faces before God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so if someone wants to connect with your ministry or learn more about you or maybe get some of the resources you provide, how would they do that?
Well, harvestprayer.com is probably the clearest site to go to connect with us, to get articles, to see what we do, to schedule. Harvestprayer.com is the best one. I will mention there's another website. You can go to it from harvestprayer.com, but you can go direct to prayershop.org. And prayershop.org is a place where all of our books are, as well as some videos and other things that we do.
Okay.
And, you know, I have a fairly new book that just came out just the week of the National Day of Prayer called With One Cry, A Renewed Challenge to Pray for America. And I'm finding that that is a real need in our nation, and that Christians everywhere are saying, I need help. Our nation needs help, and I know it needs that we need God, but I'm not quite sure how to pray. And so I wrote this book with just a clear intent of how can we help Christians who want to pray for our nation. And so that's available at prayershop.org.
Okay then. Now, you were going to share a little bit about your that book, A One Cry. Is that correct today?
Well, I think probably maybe later after some teaching.
Okay.
What I'd love to do, Joseph, is really focus on maybe just giving a lesson today.
Okay.
On praying for a nation that's in crisis. Does that sound good to you?
That sounds great. Sounds really good.
So, well, I really believe that, you know, as I get to travel around the nation, and I've been in hundreds and hundreds of churches, and everywhere I go, Christians tell me they believe that our nation is in crisis. And when you ask them about that, it depends on who they are as to what crisis, you know, they're talking about. You know, it could be the crisis of a lot of people worried about terrorism and international issues and what's going to happen with nuclear weapons in the hands of terrorists. And then there are those whose main concern is the economy and trillions of dollars of debt and what could happen to a nation if that collapses. Mm-hmm. And you've got those whose concern has to do with morality and ethics and what appears to be a rapid slide away from biblical standards in our nation. Mm-hmm. For others, it has to do with issues of justice, you know, and how we treat people. Are people treated right in this nation? Mm-hmm. You know, and to be honest, some people hear that and they go, can you vote for all the above? Mm-hmm. You know, because they just see all of those things, that we're seeing almost a perfect storm of crises coming together in this nation, mm-hmm. and it worries people, and mm-hmm. it causes people to have fear, and sometimes that fear erupts in anger, and mm-hmm. I think we're seeing a lot of that in our nation today. You know, even as you look at the elections and you look at all the stuff that goes on around that, mm-hmm. I think all of that's coming out of this awareness, both in the church and outside the church, that things aren't right. Mm-hmm. And it appears to be beyond fixing from a human perspective, something beyond the next election. And so there's a great deal of fear. Mm-hmm. But what I like to share, Joseph, with people is the fact that we've been there before. Mm-hmm. Not this exact place, but we've been in some really, really bad times before as a nation. And part of the problem is people don't like history often, so they don't go back. We have a tendency to look to the past and we think of the good old days. Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't the good old days. Mm-hmm. They're just the old days. And there were times in those old days where things were really, really bad.
Right.
You know, I think about those years after the revolution, and the United States had won its independence from Great Britain. Mm-hmm. In those days, things were tough. There was literally hardly a presence in the church. It was a time of great evil in the land. It was unsafe for women to be about. A high level of drunkenness and economic uncertainty.
Well, Dave, let me jump in here for just a quick minute.
Sure.
Before you get further in the lesson, would you take a moment just to pray for people to really have ears to hear, to really grasp how to take what you're sharing and put it to use? Would you pray for that, and then we'll pick up right
there?
Sure,
sure. Well, Lord, you know the high level of fear that's out there today. As people look at these various crises nationally, and then those are compounded by our own crises, the things that happen in our own lives and families and people around us, and there's such a high level of fear. And yet, Lord, the one thing that you teach, it seems more than anything else, is fear not.
Thank you.
Don't be afraid. Help us, Lord, to be a people who look to you,
yes.
who do not look to the circumstances around us as those are the things that are going to determine the future. Instead, Lord, help us to look to you. Lord, may we be those who, because we're a people of prayer,
thank you,
we also
Jesus.
Become a people of peace.
Thank you.
We experience your presence, and that allays our fears and helps us, Lord, as we keep our eyes fixed on you. So I pray for those who are listening today who find themselves fearful. May they learn to lay those fears, whether it's personal or national or international, lay them clearly at your feet and allow you to deal with them, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Amen. We'll be right back after this break.
For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The issue on the table today is whether restroom privacy is going to be determined by biology or by personal feelings. Dr. Keith Ablo, a psychiatrist, said the bathroom debate has hit center stage because it's really a debate about the fundamental way we Americans will define any truth. Whether it's something deeply felt by an individual or something scientifically demonstrable and verifiable. Had she the benefit of foresight, Rachel Dolezal would have simply identified herself as a transgender black man. Then she'd probably still have her job at the NAACP.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Christians often get a bad reputation for thinking we're better than other people. We're often accused of pretending to be holier than thou. But when you really consider what we're actually saying when we say we're Christians, the opposite should be true. When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean I'm openly admitting that I'm a sinner incapable of pleasing God? When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean there was one perfect person who lived a life I never could and paid a debt I truly owed? When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm far from better than anyone else. In fact, when I say that I'm a Christian, I'm saying I deserve death and eternal separation from God because of my sin. It should humble each and every one of us when we say we're Christians. The truth of the matter is, Christianity doesn't make you perfect. It publicly acknowledges you're not. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Life is never picture perfect. Human beings come in all different shapes, sizes, colors, and abilities. No matter how much we plan, no matter how much we think we're prepared, the unplanned happens all the time. It's how we respond to the unexpected that shows our true humanity. But many do not see the value of every human life. Too many are willing to discard those who don't fit the picture of perfection. Abortion destroys the chance to love and to be loved. We never know what will fill the frames of our lives or how empty those frames can be when we allow exceptions.
Learn more at www.radiance.life.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Dr. David Butts. He's the author of several books dealing with the topic of prayer, as well as the director of Harvest Prayer Ministries. Dave, would you pick up where you left off as you were sharing about just some truths in history that people often forget?
Okay. Well, it's certainly, you know, when we look at our own crises in our nation, sometimes there's a tendency to lose hope, to give up, but you look to the past and you realize we have faced these times before. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the ones that always impacted me was a time after our Revolutionary War where the colonies, the states, were connected by a very, very loose confederation, and it wasn't working very well. We really didn't have one nation. We really had 13. And so they called a constitutional convention. And I know it's hard to believe, but those politicians came together, and they could not make a decision. And they were ready to disband and go home when suddenly the oldest man there, Benjamin Franklin, stood up, and probably the most unlikely man to say this, he called for prayer. Here's what he said. He said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can arise without his aid? We've been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurrent aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interest, and our work today will be confounded. We ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. What is worse, mankind may hereafter this unfortunate instance despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to war and conquest. I beg leave to move that henceforth, prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service." And, of course, with that call to prayer, we literally have seen the beginning of what happens still today as Congress comes into session and there's a chaplain who invokes heaven. God heard their prayers, healed the land, brought together a nation that was built on some very, very strong scriptural-based prayer, or rather scriptural-based judgments. Mm-hmm. Now, those things simply don't last. And so 80 years later, after that, you find the nation torn apart, north and south, going at it. And in the middle of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln, on March 30th, 1863, issued this call to prayer. Here's what he said, just quickly. He said, "We've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied, enriched, and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us, then, to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." Mm. What a powerful call to prayer from a president in the midst of horrendous times, such as nothing we've ever faced before. Mm. And I believe that the same sort of mercy from heaven can happen today if we will pray. Hmm. Not only national leaders like Benjamin Franklin and Abraham Lincoln, but people like you and I, churches that will find themselves giving over whole services to cry out to God for mercy, to humble ourselves, and to seek his face. Hmm. What it really comes down to, Joseph, is how do we answer this question? How do you pray for a nation in a time of crisis? And what I'd like to do for a little bit is to just give us some biblical advice, a suggestion, if you will, from King Hezekiah in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. who faced a serious national crisis and prayed an amazing prayer. And I think there's some principles in there that will help us. Not only do we pray for the nation, but I would suggest it would help us as we individually deal with our own crises. These principles not only apply as I pray for the United States, it also applies to me and my crises and my family and the situations that I'm dealing with. So there's some powerful things here that's found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 37. And so I want to look at Isaiah 37, and I'm going to read through verses 14 through 20. And let me just pray, if I could, for us as we jump into this.
All right.
Lord, I thank you. It's going to sound funny, Lord, but I thank you that we're living in a time of crisis.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you that in the midst of crisis, there is such a greater tendency to draw near to you, and to experience your presence and to depend upon you. So, Lord, would you teach us now from your word?
Yes.
Would you show us from the words of Hezekiah, as written down by the prophet Isaiah, inspired by your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can see how to pray, not simply based on what seems good to us, but what we see in your word. So, Lord, teach us to pray as we look at this passage of Scripture, for we ask it in Jesus' powerful name.
Amen. Praise God.
So, as I look at this passage in Isaiah 37, it's kind of important to look at the situation before you read it, because the southern kingdom of Judah that Hezekiah was king of was in real trouble. Mm-hmm. They were surrounded. The city of Jerusalem was completely surrounded by hundreds of thousands of Assyrians. And in those days, the empire of Assyria was literally the first terrorist nation. I mean, they were cruel. They, everywhere they went, they had victory. And they were often so cruel and vicious to those whom they defeated. Often, if a nation heard that the Assyrians were coming after them, they would often surrender in the hope that they might find some sort of mercy and not face the viciousness of this terrorist nation. Well, Hezekiah did not surrender, and they were in trouble, and they were completely surrounded by 300,000 Assyrian soldiers. And what happened next is fascinating, because Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrians, wrote a letter, and it was a letter that mocked God, that mocked Hezekiah. It basically said, why do you think you little nation can hold out against us? No other nation has ever stopped us from success, from victory. Other nations had their gods, but those gods weren't able to stop us, and your God isn't going to be able to stop us either. Sennacherib had that letter written down, and then around the walls of Jerusalem, he had it proclaimed, read out loud, so that the people of Jerusalem could hear it and be fearful. See, that's a terrorist activity. That's what they do. They strike fear into the population. Then Hezekiah had that written down and sent to Hezekiah. When Hezekiah received the letter, this is what happened. It's found in Isaiah chapter 37, beginning in verse 14. It said, Hezekiah received a letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to all the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste all these peoples and their lands. They've thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God.
Yes, Lord.
And I tell you, that is a powerful prayer.
It is. It is.
And it is a prayer that is for us in our day. It is really going to be effective for us as we look at this prayer and learn how to pray it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to jump into that. We've asked the Lord to to bless us and to open our minds to hear and understand. And so as you look at this, Hezekiah just took this letter, he read it, he took it up to the temple of the Lord, he laid it out before the Lord, and kind of said, "Here, Lord, now read this. Now read this letter." And then he began to pray. Mm-hmm. So when I look at that prayer of Hezekiah, here's some things I get out of this. First of all, he began by acknowledging God's power. It wasn't a prayer that started off by focusing on the problem, but on the one who could solve the problem. His prayer starts like this: "Lord Almighty, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth." That is a powerful way to begin your prayer. Mm-hmm. I really believe that too many of us look at prayers that are in Scripture, and we kind of see that opening part as like a nice introduction, mm-hmm. and we hurry past it and get on to the what we call the meat, or the more important part. And I want to tell you, I don't believe there is any more important part than what I just read, mm-hmm. that introduction, because it focuses us on not the problem, but the solution to the problem. It focuses us on God, on who we're talking to. So many times in prayer, we come rushing into prayer with our prayer list and our issues, and we fail to just stop and realize who we're talking to. The awesomeness of the Creator of all things, who is giving us his attention and listening to our prayer. This is an amazing prayer. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, Hezekiah got it right. This is the same way Jesus taught us to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, remember when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray"? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus said, "Here's how I want you to pray." And he didn't say, "I want you to read this and memorize it, you know, and pray this little 30-second prayer." It was so much more than that. Here are the elements of important, essential prayer. And Jesus, in a sense, said, start your prayer off by paying attention to who you're talking to. Acknowledge God's power. Mm-hmm. He said, guys, if you want to learn how to pray, start your prayers like this. Start your prayer like this: "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." Mm-hmm. See, Jesus teaches us to pray the same way Hezekiah was praying. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to who you're talking to, acknowledging God. I want to tell you, sometimes when you start to come into the presence of God in prayer, mm-hmm. you can get so caught up in the majesty and the glory of who God is, you forget why you came. Mm-hmm. You forget what the problem was. He's so awesome. And so don't slough over this. Don't make this a little thing. Get to the main thing. No, no, no. This is huge. And Hezekiah nailed it. He did it just right. Mm-hmm. So here's the second thing that I see when I look at Isaiah 37. Hezekiah recognized that this was ultimately, this attack by the Assyrians was ultimately an attack on God.
Dave, we're going to jump in right here. We're coming up on another break, though, but I want you to pick up right there on the other side. Father, again, we thank you for Dave, and thank you for the work you've called him to, and thank you for the powerful truths he's sharing. More and more, help us to be a people that grasp and grow in understanding of the vital place prayer must play in the lives of the soldiers and the armies of God, and empower us to be the praying people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our guest is Dave Butts. We'll be right back after this break.
Just
just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Hello, I'm Governor Phil Bryant, and it's my pleasure to invite American Family Radio listeners to the great state of Mississippi. Through music, literature, food, and art, Mississippians want to tell their story and draw you into the beauty of our home. While you're here, travel along miles of hiking and biking trails, experience our rich history by touring museums and historic homes, discover authentic music in the birthplace of the blues, explore the beaches of our beautiful Gulf Coast. Go to visitmississippi.org for all the wonderful attractions the Magnolia State has to offer.
Our final Spiritual Heritage Tour of the year is scheduled for mid-September to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these tours since 2000, the year 2000. We've taken literally thousands of Christians to our nation's capital and to Mount Vernon to see our rich Christian heritage. In addition, in the last couple of years, we've added a tour to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. So you can do one or the other or both back-to-back. We'd love to have you join us for this very special time in our nation's capital. For more information, visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. All the information you need to know about both tours available at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Come with us, see Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We'd love to see you on one or both of these tours in September.
Magicians use misdirection to shift your focus away from where the trick is being done. Dr. Tony Evans says Satan uses the same technique when he tempts us. He explains how to see beyond the sleight of hand as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day you eat of it," the Hebrew says, "dying you shall die." Adam could enjoy life by obeying God's word, or he could die. And it all revolved around whether he believed God. Satan does not bring up all the other trees in the garden that they could freely eat. He only wants to discuss the one restriction that God placed on them. And Satan always does that. He focuses on where God says no rather than the many times God has said yes. When something is worrying you, Philippians chapter 4, and you are in despondency and you come to God, he says, come to him even though you have a need in your life with thanksgiving. Don't just come saying, "God, why haven't you done this for me yet?" Start with all the trees in the garden I have provided you. Start with all the good things I have done for you.
Learn how to experience the victory Jesus has already won for you. Get a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare, and find new hope, whether you're dealing with relational concerns or tougher issues like sexual or emotional problems, substance abuse, and so on. Visit TonyEvans.org today to get the details and make your request. That's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
You need Let's do it one more time. Come on, open your mouth and say, I need you.
I need you.
Let me hear you. You need me.
You need me.
For we're all.
We're all a part of God's
life. The music of Hezekiah Walker, the song, I Need You to Survive. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Dr. David Butts. Again, he's the director of the ministry, Prayer Ministries. Well, I'm going to let him tell you the correct name, Harvest Prayer Ministries, that is, specifically, as well as he's an author and a minister of the gospel and a number of other things as well. And Dave, you're talking about another Hezekiah and some powerful truths drawn from that, and just again, how focusing on God as we begin our prayer is such an important part of prayer itself, though. So would you pick up where you left off there?
Certainly. You know, when we look at praying for a nation in crisis, mm-hmm. you know, we look at this great prayer in Isaiah 37, you know, you start off, and Hezekiah focused on praying by acknowledging God's power, mm-hmm. and then he immediately moved into, he turned this prayer in an interesting direction, because you and I typically, most of us would pray, Lord, help us. And what he really ended up saying is, Lord, this is really about you. Mm-hmm. That this guy, this Assyrian king, Sennacherib, is insulting you, Lord. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to handle that? And mm-hmm. so I'm wondering how powerful it could be if we as American Christians, instead of making this about us, mm-hmm. made it about God. Mm. Instead of kind of whining to God about how we've lost privileges, and we most certainly have, what if instead we're saying, God, we're so concerned about you, about your reputation. We're concerned about the way people are treating you. We're concerned about the way the media is attacking you. Well, mm-hmm. we're concerned about when people pray, they literally shame prayer. Mm-hmm. Lord, what are you going to do about these attacks on you? You see, that turns this prayer around mm-hmm. and makes it about God, and that makes it powerful.
You know,
and
that,
I really believe that that is something that the church has got to learn, that mm-hmm. this is not about us. Mm-hmm. But it's about him. And that's God right. Shows us through the prayer of Hezekiah a powerful tool to put into our prayer arsenal mm-hmm. as we pray for the crises that we face in the nation. You know, whether it is the attacks of even our high court mm-hmm. on God's institution of marriage, you know, whether it is those who hold to Islamic terrorism and say, we're going to defeat the great Satan, mm-hmm. And they're attacking our faith. Lord, we would just come before you and ask you to deal with these. Mm-hmm. Lord, you're the one. Mm-hmm. You're the one that they are insulting. And so we lift the situation before you in mm-hmm. Jesus' name. And so I believe we can learn to pray like Hezekiah prayed, recognize this is an assault against God. Now, when you look at the rest of this prayer, Hezekiah does take like a brief break here, and he says, now, God, the Assyrians are right. They did have all these victories. But God, they thought they were defeating the gods of other nations, but you and I, Lord, know that those weren't gods at all. They were just idols, idols of wood and stone. God, they've never come up against you before. The ones they've come up against were not real. Now they've run in to the creator of heaven and earth. And that's really the way Hezekiah prays. Mm-hmm. And then he comes here to this, kind of at the very end of this, and it's very, very powerful, because he cries out for deliverance. And I want you to hear, I want to read again the way he prayed this, because it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. He said, now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God. Hmm. You know, my friend Bill Eliff, as he was looking at this passage, said Hezekiah was praying for deliverance with a purified purpose. See, the purpose, what purified it, is he took this prayer and said, Lord, deliver us. And that's a natural request when you've got 300,000 enemy soldiers surrounding you. Deliver us. But he purified it by saying, would you do it in such a way that all of the kingdom of the earth would know that you're the one that did it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a so that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
God, would you do this so that you could receive honor and glory?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The thing I love about this is you're going to look all through Scripture, and you'll find a bunch of what I call so that prayers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. God, would you do this so that, and the so that always has to do with God receiving honor,
mm-hmm.
glory, recognition.
That's right.
It becomes a purified purpose for us. Yes, Lord, Hezekiah could say, we really do want deliverance. But even more than that, Lord, we want all the nations to know how powerful you are.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I do that in my own prayers for people. If I'm going to go into a hospital and pray for someone
mm-hmm.
Who's sick, I'm going to pray for healing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to pray a so that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, would you heal my friend here, but would you heal them so that the doctors and nurses and the family would know that you're the one that did it.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I want you to receive the glory for this healing. And so you take virtually any situation and you make it a so that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You turn it around. You make it about the Lord. That's the purified purpose. Mm-hmm.
You know, Dave, part of what you're touching on is just, you know, the biblical truth of the battle is the Lord's, and reminding God's people that that's true, that it's really God's battle that we're fighting. And it's a good reminder because that's the right perspective.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It really is. You know, when Hezekiah prayed this,
mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely convinced that he had no inside information.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He didn't know what was going to happen.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
He had no idea that when he said, Lord, would you deliver us so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, Lord, are the only God, he didn't know that that was literally going to happen. Because it absolutely did. You know, he went to bed that night, and when he woke up in the morning, one angel of the Lord had come through the night and killed 186,000 Assyrian soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
The others, when they saw the devastation around them, turned tail and ran back to Nineveh.
Uh-huh.
And Sennacherib, their king, who went back with them, went into his home temple, and his sons were waiting on him where they assassinated him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All nations in that area heard of what God had done for Judah, for Israel,
mm-hmm.
how he had delivered them. This mm-hmm. prayer was answered, mm-hmm. and it was answered in a powerful way. It mm-hmm. was the answer of the so that prayer of Hezekiah.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Joseph, you know what really gets me about this?
What's that?
There's a verse that I didn't read. It's that very next verse, verse 21.
Okay.
It just hammers this home for me, and I hope it hammers it home for everybody who's listening. Because after the amen of Hezekiah's prayer, the prophet Isaiah shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what it says in verse 21. Then Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you have prayed to me, and then it continues on, the whole rest of that chapter talks about how God was going to answer the prayer and the disaster that was going to come upon the Assyrians. But I want you to hear, the prophet of God came to the king and said this, because you prayed, history was changed. Because you prayed, nothing's ever going to be the same again.
Praise God. Praise God.
Because you prayed,
mm-hmm.
the Middle East is different.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to hear is the same God who hears and answers prayer.
That's right. That's
wants
right.
to say the same thing to us today. We look at our nation and we feel hopeless and helpless. Mm-hmm. We think, who am I? How can I change anything? Mm-hmm. But Hezekiah was one man too. Mm-hmm. And he prayed, and God said, and because you prayed, I stepped in and changed everything.
Dave, our time.
I want to tell you, Joseph, I firmly believe that okay. that is exactly mm-hmm. what can happen in our nation today.
That's right.
You know, there just may be a couple people listening mm-hmm. who say, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, Dave, I'm going to have to jump in here.
God's going to respond to their prayers because you have prayed.
Our time
I'm
is just
send
about
revival.
Our time is just about gone.
Because you prayed, I'm going to wake up the church. Because you prayed, I'm going to change the course of a nation. Because you prayed, righteousness will flow through the streets of our city, of our nations again. And the list can go on and on of what God can do because we pray.
Well, Dave, what I'm going to ask you to do is go ahead and close our time out. In prayer, if you would. Our time is just about gone, but of course, we're looking forward to your being back with us on tomorrow. But would you just say a closing prayer to invite people to really grasp the truths you're sharing, and we'll pick up on tomorrow. Now, would you close our
time? Sure will.
Okay.
Lord, thank you so much for the encouragement of your word, for the clear teaching of your word. And Lord, my prayer is that you would today stir us to prayer, that we would again hear from you. As you would say to us, because you prayed, I stepped in and changed things. Lord, we trust you. We look to you. And we give you thanks for the gift of prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dave. And let me ask once again, would you share again the website and if someone's wanting to get more information about the books and just how to get in touch with your ministry or to be in
Certainly.
Touch with you? How would they
the
do that?
The best way to get in touch is through harvestprayer.com. And the website has lots of information about how to schedule not only myself but others on our ministry. It has a free daily devotional called The Connection, lots of free articles. But the other website, and it is linked from harvestprayer.com, but you can go straight to prayershop.org, prayershop.org, and that's our online bookstore. That's where, you know, my new book with One Cry, A Renewed Challenge to Pray for America, mm-hmm. is there. And lots of other resources. Our quarterly magazine, Prayer Connect, mm-hmm. is there. And so many other resources. I've been able, the Lord's blessed me, allowed me to write 10 books. And so those are all out there and available, along with many others. From my wife, John Graff, Alvin Vandegrin, and others on our staff. And so it's a good place to browse and get some good reading to grow in prayer.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dave, and we'll look forward to having you back on tomorrow then. But thank you for being on today.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
All right. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Join us again next time for The Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.